It is God's desire, dear friend, that you might know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order that you may know Him, He has given you His Word. We read in John chapter 20, "These are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." God has revealed to us His beloved Son in His precious Word, the Bible. The Bible means the books. Of course, it is a book composed of 66 books, and yet its theme is one. The Lord Jesus refers to the Bible as the Scriptures, such as Daniel also did in his prophecy, calling it the Scripture truth. Also, the Lord Jesus referred to it as the Word of God. And the writers of the New Testament referred to the Bible as the Word of God. And that's what it is. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I would like this evening to discuss the Word of God in its relation to the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the written Word, the Word of God, is that which is God-breathed. Every Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Being inspired means it is God who has breathed it. He has given it. And we have from Himself a direct communication of His mind, His thoughts, His purposes, in the very words which He intends to convey those thoughts. And that's what we have in this blessed book, dear friend. That Bible you have in your home, which you hold in your hand, is the Word of the ever-living God. And that Word is settled forever in heaven. And though heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, "My Word shall not pass away." How good it is in this scene through which we're passing, things are changing on every hand, to know that the Word of God changes not. It is incorruptible, it liveth, and it abideth forever. The Word of God sets forth the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who has come from God to communicate to us what God is like. We read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, in the first chapter of John, we continue in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." How full of grace and truth is our Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants that you should get to know Him. For you not only need to know Him, it is imperative that you know Him. But oh, it is that which alone will delight your soul. The Lord Jesus desires that you might know Him, whom to know is life eternal. The purpose of making known the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the object of the Moments with the Book broadcast, is that you might come to know this blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, through the written Word, the Bible, and thereby receive eternal life through believing on Him, through receiving Him. And it is our desire today that you might see your need of Him, and realize that for your need of guilt, there is all the grace that is required. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation to all men hath appeared. And it is God's desire that that grace should be shown to you. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And this book is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Eternal life is a gift of God. God wants you to know this. And the knowledge of His Son as the giver of eternal life is that which He wants you to have. And He wants that this knowledge should be operative in you, that you should receive this as receiving the Word into your heart and thus being eternally blessed. I would like to draw some connections as set forth in the Word of God for our consideration today, just as to how the written and the living Word coincide. In the first place, we notice that both the living and the written Word are faultless. Let us consider the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, in all that is written of Him. Take one expression from the Epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 5. We read connection with Him, "In Him is no sin." The blessed Lord Jesus is that Holy One who knew no sin. He did no sin, in Him was no sin, and He knew no sin. Alas, however, we know that this blessed One, because He was thus, was able to take up the question of sin and settle it. But in Him there is no fault. Even His enemies had to testify, "I find no fault in Him." The thief on the cross said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Truly, He is that Holy One who knew no sin. Spotless, without blemish, this is the Lamb of God. This is the Savior. This is the living Word. In connection with the Bible, we also read the testimony of its faultlessness, its perfection. In the language of Proverbs chapter 30, we read that every word of God is pure. This is just one of many scriptures which give us the truth of the perfection of the Word of God. Every word of God is pure. You can stake your claim, stake your life upon the accuracy and the purity of the Word of the ever-living God. Oh, what a book this is. A book that has stood the test of time. The book that stands today in spite of all the criticism of men. And though it has been burned, it still survives. There are more copies sold today than ever. It is a miracle of God's provision that He desires that men should have His Word. It is pure, and it abides. Next, let us consider this fact that both the Lord Jesus Christ and the written Word of God are the sources of life. In regards to the Lord Jesus, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John also says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." He is the life, for apart from Him there is no life. And this life is offered to you in Him, the way, the truth, and the life. In regards to the written Word of God, we read that that Word is quick, which means living, as we have read in Hebrews 4. It's quick, it's living, and it's powerful or operative. It's that which has the life of which Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." It's life-giving Word. It is that which, well, when you read it, you feel its power. "How do I know that it's the Word of God?" said one man. And in reply to his own question, he says, "How do I know that it is a knife that I have in my hand?" He says, "It cuts. I feel it." And those who expose themselves to this blessed book will feel the power of its life. It's not a dead letter. It lives. It lives in spite of all the assaults of the enemy to get rid of it, and it will live and abide forever. In connection also with the next point, both the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are referred to as light. If there's anything that men need, it certainly is light in their darkness. This is a dark world which sin has made. Then the darkness that has been produced in the human heart because of sin is that which causes men to require light. And God has provided light. I trust that it's the desire of the listener today to have light as to just what is going on. What is before us in eternity? What about after death? Are you in the dark as to the question of salvation? Heaven and hell? Time and eternity? God wants you to have light on this matter. He wants to have light shine into your heart. And that you might have light, he sent his beloved Son into the world. We hear him saying in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There is no light found in anyone save the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved listener. He is the one who alone can light up your darkened heart and can show you the way without any question and give you the certainty of the light of day. In connection with himself, however, there is a link with the Word of God. We read of the written Word, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this is the blessed book which comes from God. And when we receive it, it is that which lights up our hearts and shows us the way. We read that the entrance of thy word bringeth light, and it bringeth understanding to the simple. It is God's desire, beloved friend, that as he has communicated his mind in his precious word, that you receive that word, and receiving it into your heart will bring to you the light that you need. And when you receive the Word, you receive the living Word, because it is the written Word that presents Christ Jesus as a personal light giver. He is light, and he wants to bring light to your soul. And he does that for those who will receive. He will open your blind eyes when you put faith in him. And then again, in connection with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God are both set forth as the truth. Oh, how much error there is on every hand. Naturally, the human man does not understand the things of God. He doesn't have truth. And there is no truth apart from the revelation from God himself. Now, God has revealed what is truth. He has answered Pilate's question, what is truth? Pilate didn't wait for an answer. He turned his back on it. I trust that you today desire to know what truth is. God has clearly spoken truth. He has spoken it in the written word, and he has spoken it in the living word. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that same blessed Lord Jesus, who was here the very embodiment of truth in this world. He has given us the true knowledge of God, the fact that God is love and light and grace and holiness and righteousness all combined. The way of peace, the way of blessing is truthfully found in the one who says, I am the truth. And he himself is put before us in his written word. For of the written word, the Lord Jesus Christ says in the 17th of John, Thy word is truth. And thus again we see that the written word and the living word, each of them denoted by the expression, the truth. Do you have the truth? Do you know the truth? Have you received the truth? God grant that you will be satisfied with nothing less than the truth. And if you want the truth, you'll not find it in men's reasoning, in men's religion. You'll find it only in Christ and in his precious word. God's word is true. It is that which alone gives us the truth in connection with spiritual matters. Turn away from man. Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Turn away from your reasoning. Turn away from mere tradition. Turn away from that which sets aside God's revelation. Turn to the book of God. Ah, thank God for this book. And you know, God wants you to read it, and in reading it and believing it, he himself will make it good to your soul. Next, we notice that both the Lord Jesus Christ and the written word are referred to as food for the soul. How good it is that God realizes our need of not only having light and understanding about things, but he realizes that there is an innermost need, longing in the human heart, which only he himself can supply, a need which he has provided for. Food suggests that which we have appetite for, which we need. You know, a lack of appetite shows that something is wrong in the soul, or in the body, in reference to the appetite of the body. The physical need, the spiritual need likewise, is for that which will satisfy, that will comfort, sustain. Well, Christ is referred to as the bread of life, that which is necessary for the sustaining of life, the impartation of life, and also the enjoyment of life. The Lord Jesus is put forth as the one who will meet the need and also satisfy the soul. In connection with this, also the Word of God is referred to as food for the soul. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Jeremiah and Job both realized that the Word of God was that which they needed. One said that they delighted in it more than the necessary food. They esteemed the word of thy mouth more than thy necessary food. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And beloved friend, this is exactly what will be so with you if you accept Christ and his word into your heart. It'll not only meet your need, bringing you life and light and truth, but it will also give you satisfaction of food to your soul. Now, in connection with this, we notice that both the word and the written word, that is, of God, the Bible, the words of God, and also the Lord Jesus Christ himself, must be received by faith in order for salvation. In connection with Christ, first of all, we read in John 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Beloved friend, will you not today receive Christ by faith, and thus accept him and receive that which will bring blessing to your soul? You need salvation, and it is found only in receiving him. And also in regards to the word of God, we are exhorted in James to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Will God grant that today you will turn to him, and in turning to him you will find you have an anchor, both in him and in his word, that will keep you from drifting into a Christless eternity. Anchor your soul to him today. Believe him. Trust him. Receive the word of God by faith, and you will be safe and secure for all eternity.